Welcome to the Animal Guide for Curious Humans, the podcast that explores the vast world of non-human animals and our relationship to them. I'm your host, Maureen Armstrong. For more information, please visit us at theanimalguide.com. Hi, everyone. I hope you and yours are safe and well. It's been a couple of weeks since we put an episode out. I was on vacation, and now we are well into summer. So both myself and many of our guests are busy enjoying the summer weather. But I'm really happy that you're here, and I'm really grateful for your continued support of this podcast. So today we are talking about something called the Five Domains Model of Animal Welfare. And if you're a regular listener, you may recall having heard some of our guests make reference to a Five Domains Model in the past. This is an important framework for assessing the well-being of animals in a wide variety of contexts. It's used by veterinarians, scientists, animal caregivers in zoos, and many others to help evaluate and monitor the welfare of animals. It also has application in legislation and standards for the treatment of animals. But I think the model is also useful for us in our daily lives as we make decisions that affect the non-human animal kingdom. It can assist with considering whether to partake in animal-based activities while we're on vacation or we're traveling, or for other entertainment purposes, like whether we're going to attend a zoo or an aquarium. It's also a really good lens through which to evaluate the well-being of our own pets. And for those of us who consume animal products like meat, fish, eggs, and dairy, it's really important to think about the welfare of animals in those contexts. So a bit of history about this subject. In 1979, the Farm Animal Welfare Council in the United Kingdom developed what was known as the Five Freedoms of Animal Welfare. The council, it's now a committee, is an independent advisory body to the UK government. And obviously, as the name suggests, its focus is on farmed animals. But it developed these five freedoms of animal welfare that could be applied to other animals and other contexts. Those five freedoms were as follows. First, freedom from hunger or thirst by access to fresh water and a diet to maintain full health. Freedom from discomfort by providing an appropriate environment, including shelter and a comfortable resting area. Freedom from pain, injury, or disease by prevention or rapid diagnosis and treatment. Four was freedom to express normal behavior by providing sufficient space, proper facilities, and company of the animal's own kind. And freedom from fear and distress by ensuring conditions and treatment which avoid mental suffering. So these five freedoms were adopted all over the world by veterinarians, societies for the prevention of cruelty to animals, and many others. And they were an excellent tool in improving the well-being of animal species in an era when very little attention was paid to the subject. But over time, and as the world has learned more and more about animal physiology and cognition, it became apparent that the freedoms needed to be expanded beyond just preventing negative experiences. Quality of life is measured not only by the absence of negative states, but also the presence of positive ones. This is true for non-human animals as it is for us. So in 1994, the five domains of animal welfare emerged as a more expansive model with greater attention to factors related to quality of life. This revised model was created by Professor David Meller and Dr. Cam Reed from Massey University in New Zealand. Since 1994, when it was first developed, it has been revised multiple times to reflect new developments in animal welfare science. The most recent revision was made in 2020 and includes significant elements of human-animal interactions and the impact that that has on animal welfare. So I'm going to tell you what the five domains are, and then we'll talk about each of them in some detail and give some highlights of the differences between the domains and the original freedoms. The five domains are number one, nutrition, number two, environment, number three, health, four, behavior, and finally, number five, mental state. It's worth noting that these concepts overlap. They're not silos. There is connectedness between them, and there's some overlap. So, nutrition, for example, affects health, environment impacts behavior, and so on. Also, the first four are all associated or have associated effects on the fifth domain, which is mental state. By the way, all of this information will be in the show notes, along with links to articles and other resources about the subject. So I hope you'll check that out from our website, theanimalguide.com, after you've finished listening to the show. So let's jump in. The first domain is nutrition. In this area, one is considering the quality and quantity of food and water an animal is being given. So, what are they being fed? How often? Is there variety in the diet? Are they being overfed? Do they have consistent access to fresh water? Where the five freedoms primarily focused on sufficiency of water and food, nutrition as a domain goes much further, considering all of the nutritional needs for good physiological health. And that positively affects the quality of life. So, by illustration, if we think about cows in a factory farming setting, they are fed whatever it takes, for the most part, to make them as large as possible, as fast as possible. Grain is a principal diet food for cows in factory farming, even though their traditional diet is grass. But then there are also all other kinds of things that are sometimes added to that diet. You may remember hearing about cows being fed Skittles candies in the United States. It was a story that came to light back in about 2017, where a bunch of candy ended up falling out of a truck in Wisconsin and brought this attention to the public that it was being fed. These expired Skittles candies were being fed to cows. More recently, a farmer took to TikTok to defend the practice, stating that the candy is added to the feed mixture, so they get it at every meal. We have an idea what eating candy at every meal does to the human body. Is it any different for animals? You have to applaud all of the farmers out there who take the welfare needs of farmed animals seriously and are ensuring they're provided with proper food. But another illustration of the importance of proper nutrition for animals is with pet food. Many of us will have had the experience of seeing our dog or our cat's coat become thin and dull when eating certain brands of food, and those conditions improving quickly when switching to a different food. All to say, of course, nutrition matters. It matters for us and it matters for animals. The second domain is environment, and this is referring to the physical environment. Whereas the freedom from discomfort factor focused on whether animals were provided appropriate shelter and did they have enough space to rest, environment in the five domains model includes factors such as the extent to which the environment approximates the animal's natural environment, how much autonomy they have to choose certain conditions, like whether they want to be in the shade or the sun, and the timing of their movement. Do they have an ability to move freely, or are they confined much of the time and are only able to move at certain times of the day? This is a major issue in factory farming settings, again, where chickens, pigs, and cows are often overcrowded or crated in ways that prevent them from moving around or lying down. But environment in the five domains model looks to other important considerations that contribute to quality of life, such as sights, sounds, smell, comfort, variety, room for play, and when to engage in these activities. Many people who have contracted COVID will understand this very well. If you were isolated to a bedroom or hotel room for several days, you had a place to lie down and a space to move, but was that enough to maintain a quality life? How long could you have endured that before it had or would have had an adverse effect on your mental state? It's the same for animals. This issue is extremely important for zoos, aquariums, and other situations where animals are captive and on display. Many countries have accreditation programs for zoos and aquariums that speak to the physical environment, as they also frequently speak to the other factors like nutrition and health. These standards certainly aren't perfect, but attending an accredited zoo or aquarium is infinitely better than attending non-accredited ones that are not accountable for the environment they're providing for animals. And the importance of proper physical environment is significant for pets. We've all seen news of dogs being tied up to trees for months or even years on end. They may be provided with some shelter from the elements, but that's not good enough. We'll talk later about how this affects a dog's behavior, but just from the perspective of physical environment, even small dogs need more space and movement than that. The third domain is health. Freedom from pain, injury, or disease has now been extended by the five domains model to health more generally. So in addition to ensuring animals receive proper veterinary care for illness or injury, good health also involves proper exercise and sufficient sleep. As I mentioned at the start, the domains overlap and interrelate. Overall health is significantly impacted by the other domains. If an animal is not given a proper environment that allows the right musculoskeletal movement, physical health is impaired. If it's not provided with sufficient food and water, it will experience fatigue and lethargy. The domain of health encourages scientists, veterinarians, zookeepers, researchers, pet owners, and even policymakers to assess animal well-being from a more holistic perspective of the health of the animal. The fourth domain, behavior, encompasses many factors, including how animals interact with their environment, with other animals, and with humans. The freedom to express natural behaviors under the Five Freedoms model focused on whether animals were able to engage in behavior typical of their species. For example, can a pig roll in water or mud to cool off, or are they too constrained in space or through human punishment to do so? The behavior domain, however, provides an opportunity to assess behavior and freedom of behavior more thoroughly. It includes engaging in play, being free from threats, whether an animal is able to bond with other animals, and the autonomy of the animal for exploration and movement. So, of course, this domain, like all the others, is on a continuum. Here, one end of the spectrum would reflect an animal having unimpeded agency over how it interacts with the environment and other animals. And on the other end of the spectrum would be that it's so constrained in space, sensory stimulus, and access to others of its kind, and is punished physically or verbally for its actions. Most circumstances lie somewhere between those two poles. There's no perfect behavioral state for any animal. But being aware of and paying attention to the positive and negative interactions with environment, other animals, and with humans is an important component to understanding the overall well-being of an animal. This brings us to the last domain, which is mental state. This is a comprehensive concept that recognizes the effects of the other four domains. Whereas the Five Freedoms model focused on negative mental conditions such as fear and distress, mental state reflects the totality of conditions and experiences and how they impact an animal's mental and emotional state. Animal scientists have been able to document grief, pleasure, joy, sadness, depression, restlessness, boredom, loneliness, and other mental states in many species. And mental state affects quality of life as much for non-human animals as it does for us. I can see the power of the five domains model for assessing animal welfare in diverse contexts. So it's no surprise that it's used and applied by veterinarians, researchers, scientists, and others who work closely with animals. But for lay people like me, I believe it also has many uses. It informs, for example, how I relate to my pet dog, what I feed her, what exercise she gets, what games we play to stimulate her brain, including giving me thought and consideration of whether I'm serving her well by giving her as many treats as I do. It affects my decisions about whether to visit a particular zoo or aquarium, or whether to support rodeos by attending them, which, by the way, I don't. And it helps inform choices about products I buy and the welfare standards being used by the companies who sell them. Simply posing questions related to the five domains leads me to think about the welfare of animals in a way I probably wouldn't do otherwise. So I think it can serve us all well as a model for assessing the well-being of the animals around us. Listen, thanks again for joining us today for this short episode. Please do check out the show notes on our website, theanimalguide.com, for lots more information about the five domains of animal welfare. And I would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you stream the show. This really helps us grow our audience and get the word out about The Animal Guide for Curious Humans. Thanks to McGill Foot for podcast production and website support. For more information about the show, please visit us at www.theanimalguide.com or send us an email at info@theanimalguide.com. Thanks again for tuning in. Until next time, all the best to you and the animals in your life.